Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. We're continuing on in a message about the discipline, the spiritual discipline of fasting, which Jesus enjoined His disciples recorded in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 6th chapter, that when we fast, when we give alms, when we pray, He was giving specific guidelines on how to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father as we did those disciplines. So we want to look today at the purposes of fasting, and we began to touch on it yesterday. The first reason is to produce a piety or a sincere devotion in serving the Lord. Obviously, we're responding in obedience to His commands. And there is a spiritual power and growth in the Lord that occurs as we are willing to do this in whatever way God speaks to our heart. I said it's always very personal. Generally, the term fasting means to abstain from food, but if there are physical limitations, it can be a matter of something that you particularly enjoy, television or sports or food substance like coffee or soda or candy or something like that. So, or snacking between meals, whatever. God will honor that. And then as if you feel you're able to progress, He will show you other areas that you are able to, perhaps a particular type of food that you enjoy. So you see, it's the spirit of fasting that's important. And so we can't say, well, I'm not able to fast. That's not an excuse, beloved. Sorry. I can't. The word doesn't let you out. We need to take seriously the things that Jesus said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the Bible places a strong connection between the abundant availability of food and the partaking of it and sin. In Deuteronomy 8, it said, the Lord humbled them. He suffered them to hunger. This is the Israelites in the wilderness. He fed them with manna that they might know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then, of course, one of the aspects of the fall, Adam and Eve's disobedience to God, in one basic respect, she saw that it was good for food, good to eat. So it focused on the appeal, whatever that fruit was, as an appeal of food. Of course, there were other things. It's one to make you wise. And so, but the fact is that it was something to be eaten. That was what the sin of disobedience was. He said, the Lord God said, you may have all of the eat of all the fruit, the trees of the garden, except for that one. You're not allowed to do that, because in the day in which you do it, you will surely die. And they did die spiritually. And then there is an example given in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So often we just think of, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah as sexual perversity, but this is what the Lord's saying. It was fullness of bread, violence, abundance of idleness, didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So there is an association. Again, this is all the carnal nature. The carnal man desires things that are going to gratify the physical needs. And God wants, that's the purpose of fasting, that we subdue our carnal nature. And God wants us to enter in with a whole heart to the purpose of fasting, and that we can see God's servants responding in obedience to that. Let's get another example of the condition of the appeal of food. Noah, all of but eight were on that ark of Earth's inhabitants were destroyed. In part, the rest of the world's inhabitants were destroyed because of their strong desire to only feed their stomachs. What does it say? As in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, giving in marriage, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And also we can think of Esau's uncontrolled appetite that led him to so devalue his valuable birthright. He sold it for a bowl of pottage. And so if the appetites of the stomach can dominate a man, that leads to spiritual peril. Fasting is simply a way of saying no to the appeals of the flesh and saying yes to the appeals of the Spirit. It is a means, it's simply a vehicle whereby we can humble ourselves and seek God. Remember, as I shared, if you heard the first broadcast in the Old Covenant, the Day of Atonement, they were required to afflict their souls. That means to fast. So we see that it is a way of allowing the spirit man to draw closer to the Lord in sincere devotion and in piety and serving the Lord. And also, it is a way, secondly, to perfect prayer. Fasting is always associated with prayer. It demonstrates our earnestness. And furthermore, it gives to us an opportunity to seek God with our whole and undistracted attention. Now, it's also a way, going on to look at the purposes of fasting, is to penetrate problems and to seek the Lord's will. If you're ever in a serious or critical situation and you really need to get an answer from the Lord, you really need to say prayer answered, then there's no better time than that in which to fast. Look at examples now in the lives of Bible characters who sought the Lord in prayer and fasting. Note what caused these biblical characters to fast. We have an example of David recorded in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 16 to 23. This was, of course, after the sin of Bathsheba, and they had a child, and David was told that the child was very sick. So David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders arose, they went to him, they tried to get him up to eat. He wouldn't do that. And then on the seventh day, the child died. The servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, and in fact, when he was alive, they said, well, he wouldn't eat when he was alive. Now they're concerned that he would do something serious to himself. And when David perceived the child was dead, and they acknowledged he was, he arose from the earth, washed himself, anointed himself, changed his apparel, and then went into the house of the Lord and worshiped, and he broke his fast. He ate. The reason being, he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Another example is when Ezra was released by the king to make the journey to Jerusalem. Ezra fasted for protection on what was to be a very dangerous journey. In Ezra, the 8th chapter, verse 21, he said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. And I'm going to read verse 22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and wrath is against all that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. In other words, so there was a favorable response. And then, of course, I mentioned this earlier, but Esther, Israel's destiny was at stake. The Jews were ready to be wiped out according to Haman's plan for them. But she fasted, besought the king, and the tables were turned. And then, of course, Paul fasted for safety aboard a ship. Do you remember that was recorded in the 27th chapter of Acts? And there was a tremendous storm at sea, and they were fasting, and God spared them as they listened to the words of Paul, and not a life was lost. And then, of course, there's no greater example than in the life of Jesus. He was our example for us, and he fasted. Now, of course, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He did fast. It said after his baptism, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and there he was engaged in spiritual combat, if you will, spiritual conflict. He was tested sorely and overcame. And in every case, he quoted the word of God. And then in various church leaders fasted for guidance. In Acts, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 4, we see that the apostles ministered to the Lord and fasted. And as they sought the Lord, God gave them direction. As a result, Barnabas and Saul were set apart for the work of the ministry, hands laid upon them, and then they were sent out. Well, my time again has just flown by, and as I always do, I want to give an invitation to those who are listening. You may have some areas in your life, stubborn areas, where you've just not seen the breakthrough. That's why I felt encouraged to share this week, because it's something we don't hear a lot about, but it's something God does expect of us in our own personal capacity as the Lord leads, guides, and directs you. However, there's also another principle, and that is the power that's found in agreeing prayer. And in a moment, the announcer is going to give our contact information. If the Holy Spirit's moving on you, I do encourage you to obey him, because he has a reason for doing it. If you should email, I invite you to include your mailing address so that I can respond personally to you. However, I will always confirm and as well as pray. I love you, and I want you to know I pray for you every day. My UCM partners and my radio family, even those of you who have not written, I'm praying for you. And if the Lord leads, I do invite you to write. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.